Turn over to John 15. Our message is titled End Game Sink. End Game Sink. That has to do with the end of this ministry and what those who live as parts of the body will be doing in sync. This is the final chapter of where we could ultimately be. And for some of us, we can start being there today. But the end game for the ministry is the question is like, where is this leading to? What's the end game here? Where does this finish? How does this culminate? And I'm going to share that today. And the sink part is that you're either with it or not with it. You're either in it or not in it. You're either part of it or not. The beauty is there are some things, and I'll go over this quickly and then we'll chunk it through. There are some things that must happen automatically. You're a disciple of Jesus, some things must happen automatically. I'm not going through them all. But automatically, some things have to happen. We don't talk about it. We don't think about it. We just do it. It's what disciples do. Nice. The second thing is work. You have to work. Not in the Lord, you know, a vocation. Work a job, pay your bills, get your house in order. Work. That's a real bummer. After that, we move on to great projects, which is the thing to be working on. Today, there will be a major puzzle piece placed into the ministry. In fact, the puzzle piece, I don't know if you'll notice or not, it's not necessarily all that sexy, but the puzzle piece is so major that if you let it, you'd have to let it. But if you let it, it would fund your me and my ministry money. It would pay for your first grade completion. It would buy and sell and fully fund your LSA, the message today. A major puzzle piece. I don't know where to put it. I'm not going to link it to all those things. But this is the deal, and you can be part of it today. Or never, or somewhere in between. But it's going to happen regardless of what you do. Our goal is that the ministry hits on all cylinders. Our goal is that we become a place that has the full range of the Bible being lived and the full range of the Bible being offered. Our goal is that people do their part so that we can release other parts to do great things. You can do great things too. We'll see. We're going to start with the automatic portion in John 15. Auto fruit. All right? We're just taking two verses here in John 15. Jesus speaking. I don't know. Listen up, right? We're going to read a little bitty, tiny bit of Jesus. Can you hang? Verse 4. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 8. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. All right, that's it. That's all the Jesus we're going to read today. Certainly you can do it. Remain in me. Wandering off and the game is lost already. Positing some things that Jesus didn't say, wouldn't say, and aren't in the Bible. The game is lost already. And the first sentence fragment cannot be lived. And it's all over. Remain in me. What you think, what you do, what you are, what you set out to has to come from Jesus. Remain in me, no wandering. And I will remain in you. Wow! Do you see it? Immediately, an automatic win is made available. Automatic. I mean, it's very difficult to lose if Jesus remains in you. If Jesus says and then does, oh, I will remain in you. It's really hard to lose. It's really hard to wander off. It's really hard to get astray. It's really hard to take a defeat. And all you have to do is remain in me, and I will remain in you. Please don't make Jesus chase you down. On occasion, he'll do that, but betting the house on it every moment of every day probably isn't going to work. Don't make him chase you down. Remain in him, and oh, he will remain in you. No branch, not even you, no branch can bear fruit by itself. We must get through our thick heads the fact that no branch can bear fruit by itself. You try to figure it out. You try to make it work. It will not happen. It must remain in the vine. And I got news for you. If you remain in the vine, you will resemble the vine, who is Jesus. See, you can't just say, oh yeah, gotcha. No. If you really want to make the case and make God's case clear in you, which is another message, that you are remaining in the vine, I am going to expect that you remaining in the vine would result in you resembling that vine. That's not too much to ask, is it? In thought, in word, in purpose, in goal, in attitude, in understanding, insight, heart, mind, soul, strength, those 10 things, I would expect you to resemble the vine you claim to be remaining in. So don't just grab it and claim it. I mean, the fact is, no branch, not even you, can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. And rather than just thinking, oh yeah, we're disciples, I remain in the vine, I'm expecting you to resemble that vine in the ways I outlined and every other way. And it allows you to test yourself. It allows you to test the quality of your work. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So many people have tried. People on our number, certainly everybody out of our number, have tried to build, construct, launch efforts without being in the vine of Jesus, and they've got nothing. It amounts to nothing. The proof that you're not in the vine is that the fruit you bear is not of Jesus, and you cannot bear fruit unless you remain in him, and that's the problem. And this is supposed to be, designed to be, an automatic win if you remain in Jesus. For all of the hustle and bustle and the trying and the failing, and the trying again and failing, and the giving up and growing weary and getting tired, and the trying again and failing, the substitute option to all of that is just remaining in Jesus, and you got it made because he will remain in you, and then some things will happen. Verse 8. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Automatically, the result of you being a disciple for real, automatically, with no effort, naturally, not through grunting and hard work and being smart and being right. This is to my Father's glory, verse 8. It's like God is ready to reveal himself. And he doesn't just do that all the time, you know. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Later in verse 16, he sets the standard to being fruit that will last. And here he says that you bear much fruit.
Not an occasional service. Not a once in a while favor. Or a roundabout way of giving. I'm talking much fruit. And fruit that will last. We have to do a great many things to accommodate our number. Amen for the service that accommodates our number. For us to gather, for us to travel, for us to eat together. Amen for that. But I'm not really sold on the idea that that is the fruit Jesus is talking about, because that comes and goes. We get what we get in that, but that more depends on the work and the spiritual harvest reap there. What I'm saying is it cannot be occasional. The standard is, if we're really going to reveal God and to God's glory, you will bear much fruit, not up and down, in and out, occasional. Showing yourselves to be my disciples. Proving yourselves to be God's disciples. Now our number. They begin to start to rev it up like Fred Flintstone and like the Roadrunner. And they go, I got to get a running start of this. This sounds hot and heavy. This is going to be difficult to show myself to be a disciple with much fruit. I better get in shape. And that is where you're wrong. You're wrong because this is an automatic thing from just hanging out in the vine. Hanging out in the vine, this happens automatically. There is hard work in the Bible, but this is not it. The hard work in the Bible is not which produces the much fruit. It's remaining in the vine that produces much fruit. That's a standard. Much. What have you produced that will last forever? What have you produced that will stand the test of time and generations from now could learn from it, gather from it, have it? Showing yourselves to be my disciples. We do test each other. We call each other to prove things, clear ourselves. You want to show yourself to be Jesus' disciple? Bear much fruit. And while you're at it, make sure it's fruit that will last. A lot of times we believe, I believe many in our number, that a little bit of service, a little bit of offering here is good to go. That is not the Bible. That is church and the rules of men. I am sharing with you the ultimate win, the automatic living of the Bible, the automatic bountiful harvest of Christ, and that is remaining in the vine and proving it so by bearing much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. And you can prove that way. You must, as an automatic part of being a disciple of Jesus, bear much fruit that will last. That'll prove you're his disciples. I'll give you some examples. This is not exhaustive. As with all instructional messages, you're going to have to bring your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength to the party and make it happen. And what you bring to it will be revealed, because some will prosper under it and others will remain the same. But as an example, your Living Stone account, the account that God is building a spiritual house and he is using you, a living stone, to build that house, and you are growing and living and have provided an account that that is the case with you, should be an automatic thing for a disciple of Jesus. Not something you work out one day and forget about the next day. Not something you never work out, but I am saying something that is just autopilot. Oh, my LSA, I just live that automatically. Don't even think about it, really. It's just an automatic thing in my life in Christ, should be your testimony and be the evidence. Oh, my account of myself as a living stone? Yeah, that never occurs to me. It so happens so every day.
That's what I'm talking about. Auto fruit. There's a lot of work to do. A lot of it is just automatic. You see it, you commit to it, you understand it, you have the heart for it, you don't grow weary in it, you persevere and endure in it, and you produce it. And you produce it, why? Because I'm in the vine. Boy, you're such a hard worker. I'm just hanging out in the vine, really, you could say. Automatic. When we meet, like we're meeting now, right? When we meet, just another example. You could show yourself ready, willing, and able to deliver anyone in trouble. To help, restore, comfort, teach, break down, rescue anyone in trouble. That you could show yourself when we meet to be ready, willing, and able to do that as, get this, an automatic thing. Boy, I really like that ministry day. Aren't all ministry days the same? Because there's an automatic fact of living in the vine and bearing much fruit that will last, proving to be Jesus' disciple, it should be so that you're on the scene is pretty much the same as Jesus being on the scene. I mean, he's the one who left it to you. And he's the one who left you to it. As an automatic fact. Oh, I'm on the scene. Oh, I will be ready, willing, and able to deliver any situation. And if I cannot, I know a God in heaven who I can call on and call down to come to bear on the situation and get it delivered. And I'll be there so you know it'll happen, you could say. Wow, you're so smart, so intelligent, so bright, so deeply. No, you could say, I just hang out in the vine. That's all I do. He remains in me, and we prove it this funky way. Isn't it wild? You could say it if it was true of you. This is automatic stuff. And producing. You know, songs, preached messages, letters. Those should not be hard to come by at all. They might be hard to ride, hard to handle, but they come automatically. They come automatically. And that's not so much the indication I get, although I tell you, the month of September 2010, I believe, is the ministry's finest month that we have had when it comes to producing. Now, that came on the heels of a lot of correction, some rebuke, etc., etc. And I don't know if the ministry will wear out, but I'm telling you, as an automatic thing, the ministry should produce things daily that will live and endure forever. That God is so great and wide and deep that this ministry will produce daily fruit, much that'll last forever as an automatic thing. Not because we're tireless and hardworking. Not because I will stay up till 2. Not because, oh, I'll do whatever I got to do. I'll forego sleep. No, it's an automatic thing. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I can't help but do that, right? Not for and because and needing a pat on the back. We just hanging out producing. Those things should happen automatically. That's the way it works. Go backwards in Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. All right. So, what we need, what we really need, is we need a ministry with people in it who automatically are productive. Automatically. So that we can be done with this part. So that the encouraging each other daily is handled. So the daily bread Jesus said we live on is handled. So that the world we say we love and want to avail the arm of the Lord to is handled. So that our speaking to each other can be done in the language of the Bible, handled. So that we can all participate in unity at the same level as different parts of one body, handled. Done. Automatic. Gonna wear out? No, this just happens automatically. That is the need. That we may liberate all of us past this point. That all may be liberated from the burden of those things. That all may no longer have to wonder or do double duty or quintuple duty. To make those things happen, which are the Bible and which we need to do. But which I am telling you today, the Bible says, happens just by hanging out in the vine of Christ. And some of us make it look a lot more difficult than that. And I cannot express how easy it is. The only wrestle is, how do I, a very mere mortal, put in a digestible form this incredible thing to share, that it may be real fruit and last forever for all time. That's difficult because it's like, but coming up with it, having it, getting it, happens automatically. And that is the need. In Proverbs 24. So I'm expecting, look, we have to close ranks. And we have to be done as a ministry. Automatically, we're going to do that. The word will be preached. The Lord will be praised. The world will have its shot. The people who are too cowardly to get with us will be ministered to in the privacy of their own life by us. We give it away. We freely have received and we freely give. Automatically. Join in that effort. The joining, by the way, is I'm going to get in the vine and I'm going to remain in the vine. Congratulations, you're going to be in if that turns out to be true. If you're going to do something other than that, then I'm sure you will wear out by November, if not sooner. So we will have to get some double, triple duty time people in there and we'll have to figure out how we're going to do that. But we'll do it, but we're resolving this matter. In Proverbs 24, one verse, we're turning our attention to work, all right? Wouldn't it be great? You have a ministry that accomplishes all of those things I've outlined quite easily, done with all the parts doing their work. And you can turn your attention to work. Verse 27 of Proverbs 24. Finish your outdoor work and get your fields ready. After that, build your house. Beautiful. Beautiful. Finish. Oh, we ran out of time. Wait a minute. Did you just disagree with a proverb? Finish. Well, got a late start. We have resolved for all time. With this little gathering that was preached long ago, we are enough. And this little gathering is enough. And we resolve for all time the ministry of the word. It's already done. We have all the songs forever. They just keep coming out. All the messages. There's only tons more to preach. It just keep coming out. And the whole world, for the rest of our days, till the world ends, will have its shot. And it's daily food. Already done. You don't have to worry about that anymore. Unless you're not in the vine, at which point you got to worry. But those in the vine are going to do that, whether you get in the vine or stay in the vine or not. So we've chunked that out. It's over. It's no burden anymore. I'm going to remain in the vine. I'm going to kind of resemble Jesus in my life. Cool, do that. We've cleared the landscape. Now we're going to send you to work. We're just sending you to work. You don't have to do anything. You haven't done anything yet, right? You haven't done anything yet. I haven't done anything. We're going to send you to work. With the admonition, finish your outdoor work and get your fields ready. After that, build your house. Finish your outdoor work. You've got nothing else to do. You have nothing else to do. Finish your outdoor work. Finish it. Finish it. Your outdoor work, the work you don't prefer, the worst part of your work, the hard work that makes you work. But that other stuff we went over, is over with, done. You got nothing to do but this. Come on, you can do it. Finish your outdoor work and get your fields ready. Get your fields ready. You know, resolve some things. Resolve them. Get your hands on them, then resolve them. You know, get it to where work works. To where it's not unpredictable and like a bucking bronco. Get your fields ready. Finish your outdoor work. Get your fields ready. Where your fields are just sitting there waiting on the rain, right? The rain will come and we'll be good to go. Get your fields ready. That is nice. You know, we're reading so few words from the scriptures today. If it were me, I'd just say, I can do this, right? There's just so few of the words. And you should be able to do so few of the words. If you're retired, you don't even have to do this, verse 27. You just have the automatic thing if you remain in Christ. And then you skip this. Wow. Quite the gig. Finish your outdoor work and get your fields ready. After that, build your house. After that, in order. But building the house and setting up things is so much more fun than sweating and grunting. Right, I think that's why this is the proverb. Because like, yeah, but that's not going to work out for you. And I'm going to explain why. Building your house, the third thing we'll get to when we talk about great projects today. It's the fun part. So I was going to build a house, I was like, cool. I want like a little room, secluded little room with like a moon view. Where your serious people go up there and commune with God. That's exciting. Can we build that now? And God's like, have you finished your outdoor work? Have you gotten your fields ready? Have you subdued your work? Or is your work all over you? Work, hey, I'm in the throes of it. I am once again in the throes of subduing work. I'm feeling you. But the thing is, it can't go on forever. It can't go on forever, and with me, you know it won't. And with me, you already know and will know that the automatic stuff from being in the vine still happens, voila, automatically. Despite work coming on the scene, because it's automatic. It's fruit from a vine that isn't me. So, no matter what work I've got to do, the auto stuff keeps pouring. But I'm with you, workers. I'm with you. Your work will pay for your life. And that's a good thing to get settled down. It's good to have a life that's paid for. It's good to have a life that's paying for itself. Scripturally, you really need that. And your work will do it. Whew! That would really calm a lot of fires. That would really bring peace to my life. Yes, your work should pay for your life. Beyond, this is just a few things. It'll do other things. Your work will honor God. The excellent way in which you work, one of the things I'm excited about is to kind of get after it again. Is there such an opportunity to do excellent work that really glorifies God? Because in the world and in our flesh, the standard is whatever we want it to be based on whatever we're up to. But work can really be done, and it can really be done excellently, and it can really glorify God. And that should enthuse you if your heart is for God or people seeing God as he is revealed, as we read in John 15. But I'll tell you this, the thing you've got to do with your work, you have got to get a hold of it. You have got to subdue it, wrestle it to the ground, and defeat it. And it must serve you. You got to get your hands on it. You've got to hit it like a blocking sled and run it over a cliff. Understanding that work is a dynamic thing. And for many, depends on you. Depends what your lot is in life. But you can read Ecclesiastes 5, and work is a delightful, wonderful, fun thing. John preached about it in Labor of the Lord. Work's not bad. It's delightful and wonderful. But depending on what your lot is, depending on what you've sown and what you've reaped, depending on the cost you've counted and miscounted, depending on all these other factors, you may be in and out of different kinds of work too much to serve the Lord. This is a deal to get your hands on and subdue. To solve, to get your fields ready. Cool, we're ready to roll now. Cool, we handled that. We're ready for more. Cool, this works, we're fine. I understand it, I master it, I own it, I do it, I deliver it. Cool, after that you can build your house, we'll get to. Unless you do that, I'm telling you right now, and this would be unworkable. You will always have unfinished business. Always. That no matter what you put your hand to, no matter what you set out to be in Christ or set out to do, you are just plagued and brought to ruin by unfinished business. That is, you have a job and a work that mouths off. There will never be a time to build your house, because you can only build your house after that. There'll just never be a time when you can do that. And that's a tragedy. If you don't live this verse 27, you will never build your house in the Lord. You'll never get to great projects. Never. You'll die working. You'll die at work. So unnecessary. Really, seriously, so unnecessary. You'll always have something plaguing you. And you know how it goes. You'll have money problems. You'll have schedule problems. You'll have lack of peace problems. You'll have people in the world over you problems. You'll have, the problems will go on forever and ever and ever and ever. You'll have lack of fulfillment. You'll have God cursing you for the shoddy work you do. You'll always have unfinished business. You will never be able to turn your attention to what comes after that. And many are paying the price. Many are paying the price of that currently. And it's the only thing you have to do if you have a job. I don't know. To me, the message seems pretty easy. There's a bunch of this automatic stuff that happens. And then there's only like one thing to do. And that's like, you know, your work. And that can be so tricky because it's yours, right? Aren't you an expert? And then we wipe the dust off our hands. Done. But we have many, you know, I understand. You've got to subdue it, though. You want to watch me, you watch me. Look, I'm not doing a roller coaster. I'm not doing up and down. If God does not give victory into my hands with subduing my work, I will put my hands on something else. But I am moving on. I'm going to what is after that. I am. Many are steadfast, determined to die working. Many are, you know, are ready to stop the kingdom of God in their life for work. I will not. I won't do it. So maybe God wants to use me as a poster child, and I'll work at CVS and show you how it's done. And I will minister the word, and I will move on to the after that, and you'll go, man! But for those who have been wrestling and battling work for years, that's a rough deal. And especially when work has somehow impinged on the automatic things, which really is a problem not with work, but with the fact you're not in the vine, that's a double whammy. Go back further. Nehemiah 6. Going backwards, it's Job, Esther, Nehemiah. Nehemiah 6. All right, we're making progress. Hang in there. This is the good part. This has been how and will be how God demonstrates that we are a people set apart, which is good service to God, because otherwise people will think we're just a religious group and that's no benefit to them. They need to know this place is completely different. So, whether work has still got you smothered under some papers or not, for the benefit of all and availing all, we're going to move on to the after that. The portion of great projects. In Nehemiah chapter 6, now Nehemiah is undertaking, this is wild, has looked around, kicked around, checked it out, and has decided to rebuild the walls of the city of Jerusalem. It's like, now I can think of easier projects, but he doesn't like God's holy city looking bad. And so he is going to rebuild the walls of the city of Jerusalem. Wow. I thought after the auto thing it's paid for and then finishing your shift, you relax a little bit. Nehemiah's like, no. Once I get done with my shift, I'm going to go build the walls of Jerusalem. Because his heart is for God. Now, amazingly, but so typically, anytime you set your hands on a great project, the opposition comes. right on time, the opposition has come. Verse 2, where you can read all this on your own, it's very fascinating, but you know we can't. Verse 2, Sanballat and Geshem, those are like people who are enemies and opposers. Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message, Nehemiah says. Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. But they were scheming to harm me. So I sent messengers to them with this reply. I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down with you? Or down to you. Verse 9. They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. But I prayed, now strengthen my hands. We limit our time, right? So we just can't. In verse 2, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message. Come! Oh, this is so typical, the interlopers, the intermeddlers. It's like you're in the middle of something that nobody else has ever done. Nobody else will ever do. Nobody took the initiative to get after, and you put your hands to it because you've got your house in order. Your fields are ready. Your work is finished. The autopilot stuff that Jesus makes happen or God in that day is already happening. And so you say, all right, I have liberated the time and resources in my life to do great projects. So you put your hands on it, and people doing nothing are like, hey, come. You over there, come. Like, you've got to be kidding. It's so typical, isn't it? And if you don't know that it's typical, you've not laid your hands on great projects. So typical. Come. Let us meet together. Meet together like some fake religion. Meet together. Look, we meet together very infrequently. The brothers meet together, you know, among others as well, 5 times a month. That's it. The brothers meet 5 times a month. That's it. The sisters meet 4 times a month. That is all. This ministry is lean and mean, man. We live the Bible every day, but we don't meet all the time. We know that some meetings do more harm than good. We know that you as a disciple should autopilot a lot of stuff, go work your job, and then lay your hands on great projects that doesn't involve sitting here talking to me about it. And I'll go do the same, and me doing the same doesn't involve us having a meeting about it. That though the world and some of us might rather get together and talk about it and fantasize about what it'll be to lay our hands on great projects, we actually are a ministry set up to go and do it already and stop meeting about it. That's just beautiful. These people are outed immediately as such typical people. Come! Let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. But they were scheming to harm me. Of course, they're going to harm you, waste your time. It's like, why don't you lay your hands on this wall, gentlemen? So, verse 3, so I sent messengers to them with this reply. I like the fact he sent messengers. We have messengers. You know, modern technology is nice little messengers. So that we're not constantly having to meet together. To resolve something that's not even necessary. So I'm glad Nehemiah doesn't waste God's time in Nehemiah by meeting with them. So I sent messengers to them with this reply. I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. To me, the most exciting thing that lays before us is the opportunity to do great projects. Projects that nobody else has done. Projects that take time, heart, effort, understanding, favor, and a bunch of other stuff. projects that really, when finished, are of biblical proportions. Great projects. To me, getting that earlier stuff on autopilot is such a relief, because we all get to step in then with that already accomplished amazingly. We get to step in and just do our job. There, did my job, I hope. And then step in to, I can undertake great projects for the Lord. Isn't that exciting? To me, I'm like, that's the payoff. Yes, that's the big payoff. That's what I've been trying to liberate some time, resource, and opportunity to do should be our hearts. That certainly is Nehemiah's heart, and they are banging up against him. So he says, I'm carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Then he says something that I like, because I say this, and I hadn't read this really before, you know, it's just the Spirit. He says, why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? I tell people that. People in my life don't like the fact that I don't have time for them. Do you know that? In Christ. I've been in Christ a while. But there are all kinds of people who don't like me not having time for them. And I ask them, hey, no problem. Maybe you can help me out. Tell me what I'm currently doing, or who I'm currently helping, that you would like me not to do, or who you'd like me not to help, so I can meet with you. I'm writing. What is it you'd like me to cross off my list? What is it you'd like me to drop and abandon? Who is it you'd like me to ignore, so I may spend that time on you? Fire away, and all of them go away muttering. Of course you go away muttering. There is no answer to the question. Get a life. Put your hands on your own great projects. Leave me alone already. No answer to that question, and yet it keeps happening. And if it doesn't happen out of the mouth, it happens deep in the heart. And you can just see it and know it, and there it is in the Bible, just to prove it in case you thought, Trent, I think you're making that up. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? Great question. Four times they sent him the same message. It says, we move down to verse 9. They were all trying to frighten us. That's his summation of the matter. They were all trying to frighten us. You know, they're going to kill us. They're going to attack us. They're going to hold it against us. They're going to rout us. What are they going to do? They're going to oppose us. We're never going to finish. We set out. It's pretty much done. It's pretty much nearly a wrap at this point. But still working it. They were all trying to frighten us. Of course, that's Satan's tactic, right? That's all Satan's tactic. Woo! Look, you have to become someone like Nehemiah, who upon being frightened or Satan attempting to frighten you, you have a life. I was afraid to say it. I was afraid how it goes. Afraid of this. Really, perfect love drives out fear. So you're well off the perfect love part, right? Shouldn't that be your confession? Nehemiah was not dissuaded by fear. Despite a lot of opposition. They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. but Satan runs the whole world and leads the whole world astray. And so, you know, Satan has given people such tremendous ambition as to be excited to interfere and to make sure that nothing is done. It's like, that's quite a life. I, however, can put my hands on great projects. Let me do that, and you do what you do, I guess. They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak. And isn't that what is often the case? Isn't that? How many hundreds, literally thousands of letters do I have of our people putting their hands on something great for them. Great for God, and great given their position spiritually. And they've grown too weak, so weak in fact, a total evacuation of strength, that they don't even remember ever putting their hands on that great project in the first place. That is quite an evacuation. We cannot be such people. The ministry happens automatically. You subdue your work because you're the worker and you're good at it, right? If not, you need a different work. Get that over and done with. Thank you and good night. After that, build your house, build a great project, and you cannot be too weak for the work in that. It just can't be. With all the enthusiasm, the zeal that you should have at the opportunity set before you to do great things for the Lord, and you can do anything. You can pick it. You can do anything. I mean, it has to serve God. Building a pile of sticks and saying, ta-da, just isn't going to probably do it. They tried to frighten them, their hands will get too weak for the work, and it will not be completed. And that, after all, is Satan's goal, is to keep you from completing it, and it just cannot be. It just cannot be. And I'm telling you, it goes back to this. It goes back to two things, only two things. You're not in the vine the way you need to be in the vine. And you are grafted out, grafted in, out, branch, withering, wither, wither, back in, not long enough, wither, wither, back out, wither, wither. You're that. And you have a life of unfinished business, a work that owns you, and that you cannot subdue or take like a blocking sled over the hill. Because of that, your hands do grow weak, and you do not complete the projects you try to put your hands on. But I'm telling you that the way it should be is that the only thing left to do is to put your hands on great projects, not grow weak in it because there's so much enthusiasm in it, and complete it. And oh, Satan lost again, and shouldn't that be par for the course? But I prayed. See, yeah, this is the difference between Nehemiah and the rest of us. But I prayed, now strengthen my hands. Amen. All these meddlers, all these people in the way. Nehemiah decided to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. God was with him. Everyone opposed him. They came against him. They tried to scare him. They got in his way. They did what they do. They always do what they do. And Nehemiah calls out to God, now strengthen my hands. And you need to pray like that and live like someone who prayed like that. And instead of getting wimpy and weak and tired, forgetful, and not finishing, you need to pray like that and live like that and be done already. It's so available. As an example, I mean, we have in this ministry salvos, just like, you know, salvos are like continuous military fire. I don't know, you know, grenades and mortar and, you know, just machine guns and, you know, planes. That's what we have on our behalf. It's like when Jamie sang the message preached the message singing. I mean, it's like you can just see the salvos coming out. It's like Satan retreating, getting blown out. It's like, we will take songs for God, moving you out. Phil comes with one song after another song out of a set. Strafing the area. These are great projects. That message, those songs, great projects. You think of something like the message, Are You So Dull? Something the world doesn't understand, won't understand, will never understand unless we get to them. A salvo that goes out that just blows up a place and lets it be known that the Lord is on earth, the Lord is here, the Lord is right, and you can get with it. And so some of your projects can be like that, where you're just rebuffing Satan, just moving him back, blowing him away. Really, I mean, it's just, we do that in many ways already. You have carte blanche, blank check, you can do anything you want, a great project for the Lord. And I know those whose heart is for the Lord often think about the ways in which they want to serve him and the things they want to do and the work they are undertaking. And it is great. And it will take years. That's fine. It has taken years in many cases. And that's awesome. It will take time and endurance. Hang in there with it. time and endurance. But the payoff of being in the vine, that's all. I'm in the vine. Prove it. Boop, 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 cantaloupe. You know? Cool. Proven. Nice. I like it. The payoff of being in the vine with cantaloupe and doing your job and actually walking out the door out your job, the payoff, great projects is your gig. It's all you have to do. There's nothing left to do. It's like Zay and I. This is cool. This is like one little project I have in the works, which I'm a little slow, so, you know, Jamie can get on this with Mackenzie right away. Zay and I are going to go, just the two of us, on some retreats. We're going to get away. And that'll be cool. When he has a break, like Thanksgiving, we're going to say goodbye to the girls for a while, and we'll catch up with them later. Like, you know, maybe sometime the next day. Christmas, might do that once or twice. Bye-bye, toodaloo. Yeah, yeah, come, let's meet. Yeah, you go meet with someone else. Thank you. And it's like, I'm going to put my hands on the great project of, you know, helping Zay be a man. That's an endless project, but that's awesome. Very exciting. The payoff I get to do that because my work doesn't own me. And I'm already in the vine. I got so much to do. I got to write something for the website. It's like, that's already done. That's already done. I have to come up with something. Oh, no, we've already been told what to say and write and share and give. Right, that is all done. It really is all done. Wow. That is, in fact, amazing. I want you to reduce your life down by being in the vine and subduing your work to building a house for the Lord, to building something spectacular and unique, yours, for the Lord. It's all doable. It's the payoff you get for living two little measly things. And yet we seem too harried and harassed to know that already. Shouldn't be the case. The ministry needs to run at full capacity. Full capacity. We need to release people, parts of the body, that will do great work for the Lord. That needs to happen. And that will happen. And it's something that has to happen whether everyone's in or not. So I'm looking for parts of the body that are sold on the end game sink of what has been shared today. It never gets any more difficult than that. And the possibilities are endless because all you do is great work for the Lord. That's really hard to beat. It can't get any better than that. And we're there already. We're now going to live like it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together today. We thank you, Father, for what you've been able to accomplish miraculously with us. Father, we know no place like us or we'd go. You really have worked out an incredible deliverance and an incredible work in us. And we know that that has everything to do with you, and we're amazed that you've been able to do it in us. Who are well known. Father, I pray that we have a ministry wall to wall, unanimously surrendered to the standard of what it means to be in the vine. And that we can have humilities for those who are in and out of a vine like a garage. And those whose great, bountiful fruit that lasts is not so great and bountiful as should be the case in the vine. And Father, I pray for those that we all be united and unanimous in the fact that our work should do great things for you with very strict expenditures of us. It is not designed, Father, to consume us completely. Solomon in Ecclesiastes 2, Nehemiah in Nehemiah 6, and all throughout the Bible, people love to do great projects. We get to be frontiersmen. We get to be free. We get to explore. We get to live the Bible fully. It's really what we get to be, Father. All delivered by you. And I pray that we will have the heart to do that, rather than the heart to settle, which was preached so many years ago and yet still is a very popular destination. We love you, Father. I pray that this settles and resolves how things end for us. It ends for us like this. And that is awesome, Father, with an endless possibilities of what you will get in return for a ministry so surrendered that we have it down as to what is asked and called for us, and we can fund any challenge, any calling, any demands from you with the message today, if in fact we are living it. It is not unanimously lived today, no doubt, but it can be. We pray for it in Jesus' name. Amen.